You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network.
This podcast is being brought to you by SecureGive, pioneers in digital giving to help fuel and fund the ministries of churches and nonprofits all over the country. Hey guys, welcome back to the Coffee with Preachers podcast. I'm having coffee today with my good friend, Sean Reed of Crossroads Church in Fort Worth, Texas.
Yeah, buddy, I'm excited. So grateful to be here, man.
Thanks for making time. Sean and Lynette are amazing. They're some of our very first friends here in Texas. They're the kind of couple that when you're around them, you just feel so encouraged. They lift your spirits. They make you better people. They do a lot of marriage ministry. They lead a church, Crossroads Church, here in Fort Worth. They are the parents of three exceptional young adult children. He doesn't look nearly old enough. So, like, I want to check his ID when I see him, and Lynette both, because you guys don't look old enough to have kids.
She looks like a teenager.
Yeah, I look like 20 years older than you. I've got bags under my eyes.
Whatever.
I look like I could be your old uncle or something. And you said, whatever you're doing is working. So maybe we should just do, like, a whole episode on, like, whatever your health and fitness and youthful tips are. But I think instead, we're going to talk about a lot this episode, but maybe one thing to kind of focus in on to give you guys encouragement who are listening, whether you're in ministry, whether it's in your family, is to kind of talk about keeping your faith strong, your relationship strong when you're in seasons of transition.
Yeah.
And before the podcast started, Sean and I were just sort of talking a little bit about this. I'm in a season of transition, recently moved.
Yeah.
Man, a lot goes with that. And in all of our lives, their transition, you know, you become parents, you become empty nesters, you know, you're going through moves, and in those turns, in those seasons, if we're not careful, discouragement can come. Even for all the excitement, discouragement can come, and how do you keep your faith strong? But before we dive into that, Sean, tell us a little bit about your ministry here, and you know how this church came to be, and what you and Lynette are up to.
Well, originally, my wife and I, we are from St. Louis, Missouri. And had a call from the Lord to move to Texas, and so we did. 2001, we came down here, and we served as worship leaders, associate pastors, and basically we were just being groomed for ministry, and after a while, we planted Crossroads Church. So it's been 14 years now that we've been leading the Crossroads Church in this area. And it's been a blessing, man. We want to help people find their passion and discover their purpose in life, and that's really what our core, you know, mission is. We want to help people to find out, okay, why has God put me here on this earth? And how do I get up every day and, you know, knock it out and do it to the best of my ability? And so we began it some years ago, and we've got just a great group of people here at Crossroads Church. God has sent us people from all over the place, all different backgrounds, different ethnicities, and so it's a really great community. We're not a gigantic church. You know, we're around about 300 members, and so I love the small pocket of community that we have. But we got some world changes here at Crossroads, so I'm excited about it.
I love it. What to you is the most encouraging thing you get to do in ministry, and what is the hardest thing you're doing in ministry in this season?
For me personally, when I see a person awaken to their reason, there's nothing like it.
Yeah.
I mean, when a person just finds that moment where all of a sudden within their hearts or within their minds, they're just like, I know why God put me here. Like, for me, that is like the light bulb goes off and I get fired up for them. And I'm excited about that because it's like when I know my reason, I wake up every day and I can focus in on that thing, and you can become driven. And I believe when you find your purpose, you get passion. When those two things intersect, it's the crossroads, right? Of passion and purpose. When a person is living passionately, but also doing what they're created to be, right? There's a big difference between just being passionate about the wrong thing. You could be passionately wrong.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, so I'd rather you know your place. And so when I see that, my biggest struggle is just being very transparent as a pastor. Sometimes it feels like there's so much work to do and there's not quite enough believers to do it.
Yeah. Well, Jesus said that, you know, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few.
Yes.
You know, pray the Lord to harvest in that. And when you're in ministry and you're one of those workers and you're looking around at this massive harvest field,
yes,
and you feel like, Man, where is everybody?
Yes.
Yeah. And that can be overwhelming. I've felt that before.
Yeah, and I think in our nation, it's a moment where the church has to rise up. There's so many people that we need to reach in other countries, and I believe in missions, and we need more and more global missions, but we're almost at a place where America is the mission field, and we need to reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's just kind of assumed that everybody's believers because the church has been around forever in America, but honestly, more and more young people that I encounter, they're at a place where they just don't know. Yeah. They don't have the same moral compass that maybe we were raised with. They don't have Bibles. I mean, they don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They may be familiar with the concept, but they really don't know him. And yet, society is kind of pushing its own definition of morality or what your own truth is and all of these different things. So,
yeah.
You know, there's so many catchphrases and different philosophies and mindsets that are out there that the church has to be at a place to where we're approachable. And at the same time, we are accessible to people to help them understand the truth according to the Word of God. And there are so many people who are ready. But we just have to be willing to go and to reach them and to connect with them where they are, you know, and to lead them to Christ. So that would probably be my biggest frustration right now is that my heart is kind of bleeding for so many people who are out there that still have yet to really encounter Christ. And yet the church, you know, is swamped in trying to disciple one another and so on and so forth. So that's where I'm at.
So we keep praying that prayer, Lord, send workers. And all of us have a role to play in this. So if you're listening to this right now and you feel like you're on the sidelines because you think, well, I don't know what I could do. Like, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a singer. And if we think that that's the only roles within the body, then we're thinking so small. Every one of us, through our life, our relationships, through whatever work we do, it can become sacred work. When you look at your job as a mission field, and you look at wherever God, the people God has placed you with,
absolutely,
as a mission field. So, Sean, how can, you know, the person that maybe feels like, well, I want to be part of that work, but I feel inadequate. I feel like I don't know my Bible good enough. I don't know what to do. What do you do to encourage them?
Well, one of the first thoughts that pops in my mind is Jesus is speaking with a woman at the well. And, you know, as he's connecting with this Samaritan woman, they have this theological discourse, and she gets a little sarcastic with the Lord concerning who to worship, where to worship, and all of this. And Jesus just basically breaks her down, but in a loving way, compassionate way, she drinks from the living water, right?
That's right.
And then after that, she goes back to her community, you know, where she was from, and she tells all the people, come see a man, you know, who knew all about me. And the people came out, and folks came to know Jesus Christ. It amazes me. She didn't have seminary training, right? She didn't have 18 different steps to, you know, disciple somebody.
That's right.
She just had this encounter with a person that changed her life. And most people don't need to necessarily know how you became a Christian in the sense of, oh, I heard a sermon and then I walked to the front and I said this prayer. They need to know that you know a person. They need to be connected to the experience of how he's transformed your mind and your heart. And so I would say we don't need a great speech. People don't need to know necessarily the exact protocol. They really need to hear you say, he changed my life.
Yeah.
And here's how he did it. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind. Now I see. And you need to receive your sight, too. You need to receive this great person that I know in Jesus Christ.
And that's powerful, and that's still the message. I mean, that's still going to connect with people. We all want the hope that only he offers. And it convicts me sometimes to think about how quick I am to tell somebody about a new restaurant or how quick I am to tell somebody about a movie I just saw that they've got to see. But then I think in this sort of this culture of feeling like, oh, I don't want to offend. I need to be politically correct and all this, that I hold back on the best news the world's ever heard, the one who's changed my life the most, Jesus Christ. When really it can be and should be such a natural part of our conversation.
Yes.
I brag about my wife, you know, my kids, that I should be talking about even more so about Jesus and what he's done in my life, what he's doing in my life. And I think the more we do it, the more it'll just feel like second nature.
Yeah, I think one of our challenges is that we have kind of this dual life that exists where there's the Jesus part of our life and then there's the rest of the part of our life, right? So there's the Jesus part is like I go to church, I listen to worship music in the car, you know, I read my Bible, I do my devotional, etc. The other part is I go to work, I deal with traffic, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I pay bills, and it's like
I'm just trying not to cuss at anybody today.
right, yeah, you know what I mean? And so if you can imagine these are two circles, you know, and within one circle is the Jesus world, and then the other circle is, let's call it the secular world, where I just do my regular duties. if those two circles would ever align themselves, then all of a sudden we realize that Jesus is Lord over all. And so he should dominate every part of our lives. So if I'm a plumber, I'm a plumber who is under the dominion of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
I will be the best plumber to the glory of God. And I don't mind talking about Jesus because I don't separate him from the rest of my discussion. I don't separate him for how I conduct business and so on and so forth. And so I think we have to find ways to connect our members of our congregation or people who we lead in a Bible study or whatever. We have to help them align Jesus, right, with everything else that we're doing.
Yeah, everything that they're doing.
Yeah.
And I'll add to that that, and as you bring Jesus into the conversation, make sure that if you're plumbing, you do a good job before you do.
Absolutely.
And make sure if you're going to tell the waitress at the restaurant that you leave a good tip. You know, like be living out your life with hard work, integrity, generosity, all kindness. If it's just about like having this kind of judgmental, handing somebody a Bible track and telling them they're going to hell, like not going to resonate with anybody.
At
but
all.
If you will have this kind of this joy and this kindness and this authenticity to listen to people's stories, to work hard at whatever you do, then they're going to want to know what it is that makes you different.
I want what you have.
Yeah, I want what you have.
I want what you have. And again, I know a person. I know a person who's changed my life. And if ever a congregation catches hold to that and goes out from the place where we know this great Jesus and we sing these great songs and everything, if they leave out from the place, and even if every member of every congregation in DFW or across the country walked out and lived the culture of Jesus and simply talked to people about him, what kind of influence would that have in America? I think it would transform our nation. But the challenge is people are timid, they're afraid, they may be shy, or they don't want to offend somebody by, you know, being too churchy. And I'm like, man, Jesus was so in the culture. He was so around people who were broken. He went to their parties. He connected with them in the streets. I mean, you don't see they went to the synagogue. Jesus did that, and we know that, but they were mobile. Jesus was in the community, healing the broken, and so on and so forth. And so it would be great if we could awaken to the reality of Jesus on the move, as opposed to us just being stagnant and waiting for people to come to Christ, right?
Yeah, man, that's so good. This is one of the best conversations about evangelism I remember having. This is just, this is gold.
Yeah.
Coming back to one of those themes we started with at the beginning, for those people that are in a transition in their life right now, maybe it's ministry, maybe you're a church planner listening to this. Man, Sean knows. He's lived that out, kind of the unique joys and struggles that come with that. Maybe you're a pastor. Maybe you're not in vocational ministry at all. You know, you're just living life, and you're thinking, you know what? Life's hard right now. Like, I don't know what to do in this new season that I'm in. I'm not adjusting well. I feel like I'm just stagnant, frustrated, I'm floundering. And we've all been there, first off. So, I mean, I think we get discouraged when we go on social media, look at everybody's highlight reels,
right,
and we think, man, am I the only person right now with people posting profile pics from 10 years ago? You're thinking, am I the only person that looks a lot worse than I did 10 years ago? Like, I'm not even gonna post it.
Man,
the only people posting it.
I haven't even done mine yet. So.
They're posting, it's only people that feel like they're more attractive now. Let's just be honest. So, and I am not. That's why I've not posted. But we compare ourselves to highlight reels, and we feel like I don't measure up, and no one else is struggling. Nobody can relate to what I'm going through. So, John, you know, just that encouragement, that pastoral wisdom for those who are in a transition, which all of us go through many in life and are probably in some right now. Mm-hmm. I know I am. What do we do to stay strong, to stay rooted, and to keep moving forward?
I've literally just written a book about this. It's called God of the Valley. And it's almost like you're tried by the words of your testimony, right? You write a book on marriage, your marriage gets tested. You write a book on being the God of the Valley, and then you go through a valley. Man, let me tell you, I have so much to say on this, and I'm going to try to condense it down to as small as I can get. First off, it's a frustrating spot to be in when, on the one hand, it's like God has given you opportunity, he's given you favor, he's opened the door, and you're blessed with this role, this opportunity, be it a church planter or a new job or whatever the case may be. And it's like, thank God. But on the other hand, there could be different types of attacks. There could be sicknesses, you know, that afflict us. There can be financial distress that comes against us. There can be all kinds of opposition. And when you're stuck in that place, it's important to really see where you are in your faith walk. Because even though we have this mission from God, we're still called to just simply be worshipers of God, right? So I have this title that says Sean is a pastor. But beyond the title of me being a pastor, I'm first and foremost just a worshiper, right? So I'm a son of God. And I have this privilege of being able to honor him by faith and to worship him. And sometimes I don't walk very well this line of I have a role in the kingdom of God and an assignment to fulfill, but first and foremost, I'm just a worshiper who trusts God. Yeah. And so my personal faith is sometimes rocked when I don't see the difference between my assignment and the fulfillment of it and the privilege of just being a child, a son in the kingdom. So my joy gets shaken because I'm frustrated because my assignment isn't being fulfilled completely. Yes. He gave me a dream. He gave me a vision. And what God is wanting me to do is just be happy with the day that he has made and rejoice and be right. glad in it. And in my mind, I'm like, well, God, are you upset with me because you haven't finished it? Or God, where are you? Can we get this thing on the road? You gave me a dream. Why isn't it happening yet? Or why, you know, and God's like, I just want to sit down and talk with you. You know what I mean? And so for him, he's not worried about the destiny. He called us to it, he'll bring us into it, right? If he spoke it, he's going to bring that thing to pass. Sit in his presence, and it's the Mary Martha thing, right? Martha's yeah. working in the house, Mary's sitting at his feet. And Martha's doing a lot of things, you know, for the Lord.
Yeah, good things.
Good things. But Mary has chosen what is better, and that's just to sit at his feet and be a worshiper. So I have these, it's this place of, are we hesitant? Maybe we're traumatized because of something that's happened in the past, or are we anxious, where we're getting ahead and we're trying to rush God? Either one of those extremes, whether we're anxious or we're apprehensive, is wrong. We have to find ourselves right in that spot in between where step by step, we're just walking with God and that godliness with contentment becomes great gain, right?
That's powerful.
So here's this thought. Am I apprehensive right now or am I anxious?
This podcast is being brought to you by my good friends at SecureGive. Some of my best friends on the planet founded the company of SecureGive, work for the company of SecureGive. There is no place like it. These guys are the real deal. In my 10 years living in Augusta, Georgia, where SecureGive is located, I got to see up close, firsthand, just how honorable these guys really are. SecureGive, they have been pioneers in digital giving to help fuel and fund the ministries of churches and nonprofits all over the country. Every church, every nonprofit needs a digital giving solution and strategy. SecureGive has a full-scale ecosystem to help you reach every donor, every giver, and maximize every donor and every giver through a variety of services, including online giving, text to give, kiosks, mobile apps, and a variety of other services that are going to help you reach the people that call your church home and continue to fund and fuel the mission and ministry of your church. SecureGive is ministry-minded. They love the local church. They employ people that serve and love the local church. They actually have a pastor, a retired pastor on staff whose whole job is to pray for and encourage the churches that SecureGive serves. I dare you to find any other digital giving company with that kind of ministry mindset. Man, SecureGive is the real deal. I love these guys, and I'm truly honored to call them friends. Do yourself a favor and look them up. Give them a call. You're going to talk to the same people every time you call. They're going to treat you like family. So go to SecureGive, SecureGive.com, SecureGive.com, and let them take care of you.
Marriage is your most sacred relationship on this earth, and prayer is the single most powerful way to transform it. Have you heard of Mark Batterson's book, The Circle Maker? Over 1 million prayer lives have been changed through The Circle Maker. Now marriages can benefit from this teaching as well. It's time to learn the relational truths in the legend of Honi the Circle Maker, a man bold enough to draw a circle in the sand and not leave it until God answered his impossible prayer. Honi's prayer saved a generation, and your prayers can transform your relationship. praying circles around your marriage draws from the life-changing principles Mark Batterson outlines in his New York Times bestseller, The Circle Maker. This new book is available now for pre-order everywhere you buy books. Go check it out. Now, back to the show.
When Moses and the children of Israel were in the wilderness, right? I'm going through the Bible again, right? So I'm reading, and as I'm listening to this, I'm at the gym working out and all that, and I'm listening to the audio Bible, and all of a sudden I heard them talk about an omer that they gathered of the manna, you know, in the wilderness. They're hungry, God gives them manna. And then they pick it up, and it said that each person was to gather only what they needed for that day. And as I'm listening to this, it was one of those things that just kind of leaped, you know, and I was like, wait, only what they needed for that day. What was the point? And then later on, Jesus tells us, you know, when they ask, how do you pray? He says, pray for daily bread.
That's right.
And in my mind, I don't want just daily bread. I want
to store it up. I want so much provision that I don't need faith, right? Because I got barns full of stuff.
And that's the point.
And Jesus is saying, no, that's that. You know, there's a prayer in Proverbs chapter 30, I think, that just kind of hit me right between the eyes. I try to read one of the Proverbs each day. And it's this prayer that says, Lord, give me neither poverty nor riches. Mm. Because I'm afraid that if you give me riches, then I will think I don't need you.
Yeah.
I'm paraphrasing. This is the Dave paraphrase version. It's right. More eloquent than
I love
this.
It. It's great.
And I'm afraid that if you give me poverty, then I'll be tempted to steal or to, you know, to bring shame on your name. Give me my daily bread.
Yes.
And help me be content. Help me trust in you. And I thought, man, what a prayer. I mean, I believe God wants to bless us so that
Absolutely.
We can be a blessing to others. I mean, I don't think that God wants us just living in this constant struggle. He wants to bless his children. But
yes.
I think that the best blessing he can give us is himself.
Yes.
And realizing that we can trust our Father. And so I think this part in us, especially as men sometimes, where we feel this need, I need to be a provider. I need to do this. I need to give my family that. We live in this tension. I know I've lived in this tension where I sometimes look at my success as a husband, a dad, in terms of what I'm providing for
yes.
my family and our long-term provision and our mm-hmm. 20-year plan and all this stuff. And I think it's wise, and the Bible has a lot to say about the wisdom and financial planning and working hard and all that, and that's a topic for another time. But God wants you to be wise in those areas.
Right.
But he also, more than anything, like Sean has been saying, like the Bible says, he wants us to trust him daily for that provision.
Yes.
That he's our provider, ultimately.
And if I have my manna for the day, can I be content with what I have? And I found myself, as I meditated on it, I'm like, how many days have I allowed worry or fear to consume me as the provider?
Yeah.
And not only that, but once God gave me this vision to plant a church, how many days did I wake up solely focused on expanding the church? Like I was driven to take it beyond where God had grown it to at that point in time, right? So it's okay to be for the vision, right? And fired up about it and all that. But at the end of the day, I should be able to go to sleep because unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. As God sees fit to add to the church, in the book of Acts it said, and the Lord added to the church daily as he saw fit.
That's right.
So yes, we break bread and fellowship with each other. We try to do life and community and we cast vision. And when you get done with all of that, it's still the Lord who is the Lord of the harvest, and he's going to give the increase. He's the one who's going to bring in the harvest. And so that being the case, I can't be both pastor and God. I can't be a visionary leader and God. At some point, I have to really trust that if God calls me to it, he's the one who brings me into it. And if God spoke it, then he's the one that's going to make it good. And the work that he began in us, right, he'll complete it until the day that Jesus returns. And so there's this taking a seat again beyond my title, take off the hat that I may wear that God has called me to. It's great. But first and foremost, can I be his son?
Yes.
That's just content with his daily presence and know that God is walking with me. And I think that's what the lesson was in the wilderness. The only day that God allowed them to gather more than what they needed for that day. It was interesting when they got more, the Bible says that it rotted. And so God, he wouldn't even allow them to have more
right.
than, you know what I mean? They tried to sneak a little extra. God was like, no, you're going to learn.
You're going to learn
in this wilderness, right? And so, so here's what's amazing. The only day he allowed them to gather the double portion was on the day before the Sabbath. because on the Sabbath day he wanted them to rest, which tells me then that the whole point of it all was that every day it should have been resting in the provision of the Lord.
Yes.
And so now on the Sabbath day, the point was to know that God was in control. It was to know that the Lord was with you and to reflect on his goodness per day. So that to me, if I could go back and speak to myself as a young church planter, you know, 14 years ago, what would I tell Sean? I'm like, dude, be fired up about the dream, be excited about what God has called you to and all the things that he has shown you, and then humble yourself and remember that you're a son of the Most High before you're a pastor. Before you're trying to build and expand and to accomplish these great things that God has shown you, sit in his presence every day and just enjoy the fact that you have a relationship with the Lord.
And that's the whole key to life. That's the key to ministry. That's our purpose. There's a book that really helped me get that message in a time when I was struggling to really, you know, believe that message. And it pointed me back to the beautiful truth of Scripture. It's a book called Abba's Child by Brennan Manning. A great Bible teacher, passed away a few years ago. But it was just reinforcing that message that you are Abba. You are Abba's child. That's your identity. That's who you are. And stop trying to believe the lie that you have to earn his love. Stop trying to believe the lie that he loves you more when you're performing at a certain level.
Yes.
And just live in the knowledge that you are Abba's child, that you're your father's child, and that he loves you with a limitless, never-ending love. So that's a book I'd recommend. And I can't wait to read your new book, God of the Valley. When's this coming out?
It's actually available now.
All right.
See, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, all that good stuff.
All right, that's my next download, God of the Valley.
Man, listen, I'm all fired up about it now when I think about it. And so, again, if I could go back and speak to myself then, and now I speak to myself now, and I'll say it's like now that you're kind of on a different level and you have this different level of exposure and we're able to influence so many people, it's even more important to have this place of trust and confidence that it's the Lord who does the work.
Yes.
And it's a tension, I mean, that exists. And it's a healthy tension that exists between us and God. The scriptures would say it like this, that Paul said, I'm a co-laborer with Christ. I'm a co-laborer, which is a really interesting term because it's God. So often I would say I'm doing work for God. And it's interesting that the actual way to say it would probably be better spoken, that I'm doing work from God. Whatever assignment he's given me, I'm not doing it for him. I'm doing it from him. Which means I receive a download from God, and then I walk in agreement with it, and I become a co-laborer with God. He doesn't want to do work independent of his church, right?
Right.
He wants us in partnership with him. The gifts, though, come from God. And so the gift is from God, is for us to operate in the gift. So there's this tension of knowing the difference between the gift within you, right?
Right.
Knowing the call that God has given you and you just being a son of God. And so there's this tension of I'm just walking in agreement with God. I'm a co-laborer with God. He does his part. And what's my role in it? It's to trust him. It's to walk with him. It's to love on him and to facilitate what it is that God has called me to do. Right?
Man, that is deep. That is deep. Man, it's so good. Like, I mean, this, I needed this today. I hope you guys listening, this is encouraging you and impacting you as deeply as it is me to just hear these things and to think new thoughts and then to be reminded of some of the things that we know from Scripture, but I so easily forget. And before we close, I'm going to put you on the spot, Sean. I'm going to put you on the spot, embarrass you, but it's for the good of all the listeners. See, Sean has like way too much talent for one person. I think when he was born, several babies got no talent. It was like a mix up in heaven. So he got a bunch of extra talent, a bunch of babies. I was probably one of the ones born like around the same time. Like,
whatever.
But when he sings, it's powerful. All right. And so like, he didn't know I was going to ask him to do this, but just to kind of like end with some of this worship we're talking about, would you sing just a verse or two of Amazing Grace for us? I know I'm totally putting you on the spot, but when you worship, I don't know, I feel like that God always does something special with that voice he gave you. And I just feel like this is probably the only interview that I'm ever going to ask somebody to do this, but.
Dude, that's funny. So, yeah. Okay. Sure. Amazing grace, how sweet. that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I can see.
Yes!
That's the on-the-spot Amazing Grace rendition.
Oh, I'm going to just go out on a limb and just say that for all the podcast interviews that are going to happen on this, that is the best ending that you are ever going to hear. So talk about finishing strong. But thank you, Sean.
You're
leading us in worship, but then also leading our hearts back to the heart of our Father and reminding us that we're His children. And there is no greater knowledge than that. And this has been so encouraging. So get Sean's book, The God of the Valley. How else can folks find you? If you're in the Fort Worth area, come to Crossroads Church. But yeah, how can folks find you if they're somewhere else?
They can check us out, thecrossroadstx.org. We could also look up seanandlanette.com, SEANLANETTE.com, seanandlanette.com.
They are a wonderful couple. I'm honored to call their friends. Yeah, they will bless you as they've blessed us. So, Sean, thank you again.
Appreciate it, man.
Thank you guys for listening. Share this, review this, like this, help us spread the word. Folks need to hear this message. They need to be reminded that God has such a plan for their life. Yeah. And so thank you for listening and sharing. It means a lot. And we'll see you next time on Coffee with Preachers.
Thanks for listening to Coffee with Preachers, hosted by Dave Willis. This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network. For more information about this show, visit convergepodcastnetwork.com.